This is a duplication tape of this Bessie Lou interview, tape one, side A. It's a duplication from a 90-minute to a 60-minute tape. Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California.
Okay. Mrs. Lou, where are your parents from?
From Canton.
Which district do you know?
District Samyap.
Samyap.
We're Samyap Punyu. That's why we speak pure Cantonese.
Both your mother and father?
My mother and
Punyu.
Father. Yeah. Punyu.
And when did your parents come to the States?
Come to the States?
Yes.
My mother was born in San Francisco. My father came over when he was 16 years old. And he built in 1886, maybe we can, I really don't know exactly when, but we could probably calculate and figure out, you know, he was 16. I don't know how old he was when he built that building.
What building was that?
Which still stands in Hanford, California now. His store, you know, it was named Su Chung Kee's store because that was his name.
And it was a general merchandise store?
Yes, right.
What kinds of things were sold?
We had groceries, Chinese, you know, imported food from China and everything, you know. Down at the basement, then on the first floor, then we had general merchandises of Chinese art goods, and we even have blankets and things, you know, and Chinese slippers and things, because right in Chinatown, at that time was only one street, but a lot of Chinese people were there at that time. And then, of course, then finally, my dad got a Chinese herbalist to come over from China, and then gave him part of the store, you know, to put in all these herbs all over the wall, and they were very interesting, you know, with a little cabinet, and they had the drawers and all to put the different kinds of herbs in it. And it was so successful that my father thought it would be best to send my brother back to China to learn the Chinese herbs, or in those days they call it medicine. And of course my brother was there, I think, 2 or 3 years, and he came back and fully fledged, you know, herbalist. So he hung up his shingle, and I remembered at 3 o'clock in the morning, all the people, these were American people that worked at the orchards, you know, and maybe got sick or summer colds or one thing or another, they would line up, you know, in Chinatown, you know, coming 3 o'clock in the morning to sign. My brother would put a plaque up in the front of the store, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, and then they would put in their names, first come, first serve. And 9 o'clock in the morning, prior to that, before store opening, my mother would get the breakfast ready for my brother to eat and all that, you know. And then the store opened at 9 o'clock, and then we take them by turn, you know. I mean, they took, you know, he had a couple of other helper to to get the herbs, you know, chapyo.
Mm-hmm.
What would I say? How do you? It isn't prescription, but you know.
Similar to a pharmacist, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, pharmacist, you know, to get their packages of herbs. And I remember, that's why up to now I cannot drink coffee. Because whenever I was sick, you know, then I would, my brother would give me herbs, and I would have to drink that, you know, terrible bitter herb. And it always, you know, was a cure. But I never did like it, and I always have that association with coffee. If I drink black coffee, it tastes just like that Chinese herb.
Uh-huh. So herbs were used in your family pretty much as cure for colds and
all kinds of ailments. And my brother was very successful, you know.
So was Western medicine used for all in your family?
No, it was just herbs.
Uh-huh.
We never used any American, unless if somebody, I don't remember anybody getting any appendicitis or anything of that sort. Naturally, we have an American doctor, you know.
Were herbs used for cooking?
Well, certain herbs, you know, are good to make soups and things, you know. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you continued the tradition of using herbs with your own family?
Now and then, down at Chinatown, you know, there's certain types of herbs that are very soothing, and we put pork or something else in it to boil it, which I'm sure you have drank a lot of that. Sei Mei and Qing Bo Leong and all kinds of things. They always use some kind of herbs in it.
Mm-hmm. But you still use some herbs?
Oh,
in
not too
cooking?
Much. No,
not too much.
Too much. Well, now and then I like to drink that Qing Bo Leong, you know, because that is good if you have your system is acidosis, or you know, you're all dried up, or your throat is hoarse, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I still use, for instance, the lily root, you know, powder that you get down at the Chinese store, and I make a little paste and make it as sort of almost like a pudding, very, very thin pudding, but I put Chinese crystallized sugar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So that I still believe that every time I drink that, then my throat is smooth. I mean, you know, it's lubricated, and I don't have that dryness. Or, you know. So there are many, many uses for Chinese herbs.
Mm-hmm. How was it that your father landed in Hanford?
Hanford?
Yeah.
I haven't got the least idea. That's why I want to go up to San Francisco maybe this spring and talk with my sister. I hardly know that she, you know, knows, because isn't that strange? In those days, we never asked our parents where they came from, but that's the way the life is, you know. Did you?
No.
You see, you're much more modern than I am.
What was the population of him?
In those days, I would say about 800 or 900 people. I tell you that Chinatown in Hanford is amazing. We had Chinese old meat market, and of course my father's store, and many restaurants. And Sunday is a very busy day, because a lot of these people would come on Sunday, that's not their working day, to take herbs, you know. They come into our store and have my brother feel their pulse, you know, and then analyze what kind of sickness.
Mm-hmm. Well, there were about 800 or 900 Chinese in Hanford? Or was it
maybe
the total population?
I'm thinking about totally around there in Limor and, you know, around that area.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's Armona and Visalia and Limor, you know, all around is within the, say, in those days it was a buggy, you know, and horse, so it takes them an hour or so to get there, but now you can get to from one place to another in 10, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We covered that.
Well, how many Chinese were there in Hanford? you were going
in town? You mean right in Hanford, you know, in Chinatown? Oh, I would say about 100. If you go there now, you see that China Alley Street. It used to be named after my father, Su Chang Ki Alley. And then later in later life, and my father was inactive, and so he wanted it to change, you know, to China Alley, which still stands now. It's called China Alley.
And did your father meet your mother in Hanford or San Francisco?
I haven't got, they didn't meet, I'm sure. I'm sure everything was arranged, you know. But my grandmother, on my mother's side, came over from China. How she came over, I don't know. You see, that's how my mother was born in San Francisco. That is way back, so I wish we had some, you know, sort of knowledge.
It's
really interesting because really way back. And those were the Gold Rush days, because I remember there was an old man that finally lived in our store, you know, and he came over with to build a railroad. And we didn't, we were too young to ask him all the story, you know, how they came over and came over with what. And after he was about 80 years old or so, then we sent him back to China and he died over there. This was sort of a very distant relative of my father.
So your parents married here in the States, and how many children did they have?
Well, I right now I have only a living sister up in San Francisco. My brother died, the herbalist, you know, he died when he went to back to Canton to visit China, and he died there. Then I was told that there was a son, you know, I had a brother between my sister and myself. So there were four, two boys and two girls.
Which number are you?
I'm number three.
Did you go to Chinese school?
Yes. You see, my brother, he was very well educated in Chinese. So he was the one that went up and down the coast to solicit money. And he was the one that built a Chinese school there, which still stands in Hanford, a beautiful stucco school, you know. But prior to getting the schoolhouse, we would use the basement down in our store, and he would teach us Chinese, you know. And there were other families, too. I think there were about 10 of us students there. And then we would chant, you know, the Chinese literature, and we would trace the Chinese character. And then I'm jumping, you know, from here to there because my mind is that way. I mean, I hadn't given it a thought, and now, you know. And then later, then he felt that we really should learn Chinese. He was very community-oriented, you know. I mean, he always liked to help. Maybe that's where I got some of my thing, because my brother was that way. So he went around and solicited enough money to build this Chinese school now in Hanford, which still stands. And then he hired a teacher from San Francisco down to teach us, you know. There would be the children from Lemoore, Visalia, but mostly around Hanford, Chinatown. There were about 30 students at that time learning Chinese. And then later he got a Professor Chu from San Francisco to teach and also teach us Mandarin. So we, you know. And after I left home, then they still continue with the Chinese school. Of course, then my brother was gone then, you know, but they had other people took care of him. And right now, since there are no more Chinese school there, the building still stand and is keeping up very well. They donated that building to the Kings County Theater Guild or something, And so that has become a community building for the shows, I mean, for little theaters, you know. I think they have shows there mm-hmm. on weekends and such. And mm-hmm.
How many years did you study Chinese?
Oh, just enough. Well, I say about 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, unless you keep it up, you forget.
And the girls as well as the boys?
Oh, yes.
Were in the class?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, some of the boys and girls that are that went to school with me, they're still in Hanford. They're all in a restaurant like this Imperial Dynasty, you know, like Richard Wayne and his family. Mm-hmm. They're still very active there.
Did your parents encourage you to study Chinese at all, or did it all come from your brother?
Oh, yes, from my brother.
It all came from your brother.
From my brother.
Why do you think it all came from him? Because of his 2 years in China? Or?
No, because he went to a Chinese school. Of course, my father was all for it, too, but I think my father died before he got the school. I really cannot remember the dates. Mm-hmm. Just about, yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. the continuity of this. I think I'm just jumping here and there.
Okay. So your brother studied Chinese in Chinese school here in the States,
Fresno,
too?
Or
in Fresno.
In Fresno. That uh-huh. was the only place that had a Chinese school. So my father sent him up to Fresno. He was living there and came back only the weekends to learn Chinese from the Bo Wang Hui. That is the Kuomintang, mm-hmm. you know, the mm-hmm. political Kuomintang. They had a school there, so my father sent my brother up there to learn Chinese. And he was very good in Chinese. Mm-hmm. He didn't have much American education, just enough to go by, because in those days it wasn't compulsory for them to go to school. You know.
About how many years do you think he spent in this school in Fresno?
I don't know. I think about 3-4 years, mm-hmm. 2 or 3. And he was really good with calligraphy, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was very well versed and very educated in Chinese.
And then he went to China for about 2 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then after that, he went to China and got married. My father sent him over there to get married. Oh, no, he married a San Francisco San Francisco girl. As a matter of fact, I have the picture here, but his wife died. He was married, I think, only about 20 years old, 19 or 20, because the Chinese, they believe in early marriages, if you're a successful family, you see. So I think he was married about 20 years, and the wife was only 19, but she was married. Oh, it didn't last because she died after bearing 2 sons. Where were we now?
You started out saying that your father sent your brother back to get married to China.
To get married again. Yes, he did. He got married and he came back with my second sister-in-law. Uh-huh. And she lived to be a ripe old age, but she never had any children. Mm-hmm. You know, so we just had the two, he only had the 2 boys from the first wife. Mm-hmm.
Did your brother want to go back to China to get married, or did he want to marry somebody here the second time?
No, I think my father sent him, and he just went. In those days, there weren't too many girls in Hanford. We were the first families. I'm the first Chinese girl to be graduated from Hanford Union High School. You see. Mm-hmm. So he never had a chance, but he's so well versed in Chinese and Chinese culture, steep in, you know, through and through, mm-hmm. that he is very perfectly happy to get someone from there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they had a good life together, and she was a very pretty woman, you know. Mm-hmm. And we got along beautifully. Mm-hmm.
Did you speak Chinese at home with your parents?
Always.
Always.
Always. Mm-hmm. The only time I spoke English is when I am at school. That's why even now my you know, I revert back, my thinking is all in Chinese.
Mm-hmm. And then how about with your family, your children? Did you maintain a Chinese language?
It's just
at
a
home
reverse now. In the summertime, I would have someone from USC to come over and teach them Chinese. And every summer, not every summer, I would say about 3 or 4 summers. And do you know now, if they speak Chinese, they have an American accent. It's really funny.
But so
and they don't speak to, no, they don't speak it at all.
Did you speak Chinese to your children?
Well, I made it a rule at times. Many times I said, now, dinner table, we cannot speak a word of English. We must speak Chinese. And we have, you know, we tried to, and then it got so difficult. I mean, it was such a difficulty. You don't know, and then suddenly you're speaking English again. You just revert it back to English because it's so much easier to,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's very difficult,
mm-hmm.
you know, for them.
Did you think it was important to, if your children,
oh,
for your
definitely.
Children to learn Chinese? And
definitely. Other people trying to learn Chinese, so why can't we Chinese people learn Chinese?
Mm-hmm.
So that had been my, you know, belief, but then it was so difficult because they, you know, spend so much time at school.
Did you send your
American
children
school.
to Chinese school at all, or just the tutors?
Yes,
during
they
the
went.
Summer?
I think a year or 2 years to the Los Angeles Chinese Presbyterian Church, didn't they? Yeah, they had a Chinese school there. You know,
mm-hmm.
so I sent them there.
Mm-hmm.
2 summers, I think, or 2 semesters, but
mm-hmm.
it's just too difficult for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's jump back again a little
yeah.
bit. Where did you go to school?
In Hanford, California. Graduated from grammar school there,
mm-hmm.
and then I went to high school and graduated from high school there.
Mm-hmm.
And I came down here after I graduated from there. I came down here to go to UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, was just had transferred, just become a co-ed, you know. Prior to that, it was a normal school, normal college, only for teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember the first year that I was here, that's when they had the co-ed and had Spalding, and so for the first time, they had a football game,
mm-hmm.
you know, had football games there.
Mm-hmm. And what did you study at UCLA?
Oh, education.
Mm-hmm.
That was my major.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you graduate from UCLA?
Well, I didn't. 2 years after that, my mother took ill, and so I was called home. Then I took my mother up to San Francisco to get medical, you know, treatments, see doctors there, because the Chinese always believe that one must, you know, go to a big town to get the proper doctor. And so she died there. And when she died, then there was no sense coming back to Los Angeles to go back to UCLA. And the semester then was different. I couldn't go to Berkeley because I think they had quarter, and whereas we have, you know, into thirds, I think. So it just didn't correlate, or
mm-hmm.
it didn't fit in. So then I went to San Francisco Teachers College, and that's where I was graduated.
Mm-hmm. And when did you graduate?
And then I think 1928.
Uh-huh.
And then I did practice teaching at the Commodore Stockton School, and then I taught a year and then got married, and because I got married, then I have to forsake my teaching. In those days, you cannot be married and be a teacher. You cannot hold a teacher's job if you were married. You all have to be. That's why so many teachers are old maids now, I think. I mean, those days.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Did that only apply to women who were married?
Yeah.
Men who were married?
I don't know. They were mostly women teachers in those days.
Yeah.
Very few men teachers.
Mm-hmm. So after you got married, you couldn't teach anymore?
No,
couldn't. Mm-hmm. So what did you do?
I'll just be a housewife.
And when did acting come into?
Oh, it wasn't until 1936. Then we had moved to Los Angeles because my husband he was managing a store here. He had a better offer here, so we came down here. And then when they were doing Good Earth, they were, you know, trying to get hundreds of people to work in Good Earth. But I was one of the four chosen to have a contract there. But I was the one that really began at the very beginning, from the first day to the very end. I was their contractor to MGM longer than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the way how my career, you know. And then after that, I...
Did you work through Tom Gubbins at that time?
Oh, yes, we all did.
Uh-huh.
You know, we all did. So when the... When 1939, after Good Earth, which is about 1937, then they were trying to form a guild, you know. So I think it was 1939 that they looked all over for someone to be a casting director. And because I spoke Chinese very fluently, or that's what they think, that I was qualified to be a casting director to work up at Central. You know, in those days, you know, they were using hundreds of Chinese for various pictures. And some of them, they can't speak a word of English, you see. So then, Central Casting called me up and wanted me to work with them. I said, no, I can't, because my twins were very, very young, and I didn't want to, you know, leave them. They called me three different times, you know, and asked, the third time when finally accepted was because they said, well, suppose you stay home, you can stay home with your bring up your family, but if we install phones in your house, you can work there.
Mm-hmm.
So I spoke to my husband, and he said, oh, that's all right. Oh, yeah, they said that I have to be trained a couple weeks, you know. Could I spend the time to go up Central Casting and be trained? So then I agreed, you know. So then I was at Central Casting for two whole weeks, you know, and then learn a little bit of how they do things, how they cast, before I came back home. You know, I mean, then I worked at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when the Screen Actors Guild came into being. And that's why they had to get, had to have somebody else who were not, you know, I don't want to say this and be, then.
So after your picture in The Good Earth in 1936 or 37, you became a casting director working out of
mm-hmm.
your house.
Mm-hmm.
And you still had twins, did you say?
Yes, my girls. At home, I can always cook for them and, you know, still do my motherly duties.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent them to school in the daytime as long as when they came home, I, you know,
mm-hmm.
took care of them.
How many Chinese did you come in contact with? About how many Chinese would you say were involved in the movie industry?
Well, you see, like a Dragon Seat, when they need hundreds of them, not only Chinese, I had Japanese, I had Filipinos. And we always put the Filipinos in the background, just as long as the foreground were Asian, Orientals, you know. You see, I worked in Good Earth, but then the following, others like the Dragon Seed and or what other, I can't remember. You see. Then it was the war years, you know, where they have Tokyo Joe, the picture of Tokyo Joe, where they meet hundreds of soldiers, Japanese soldiers, and all that, you see. So I can't say how many I have, you know. When they need it, 200 of this, 200 of that, and all, I have to fill it. Then I called down to Chinatown. And as a matter of fact, there was a Chinese cinema club that we organized down at Chinatown on Main and Alameda.